I want to talk a little bit about what I would call divine flexibility. That is that God is kind of open-ended. He makes plans and he sets up potentials, but it all depends upon us and whether we are going to enable those plans to come about. Now, this works positively as well as negatively. For example, God says to Nineveh, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. There was no condition attached. That was it. There was a 40-day period. But they were not destroyed because they repented. So God is open to change. And you may say, I, the Lord, change not, Malachi. Yes, but read on. What does it say? I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, the factor within his personality and within the structure of his working, which does not change, is his grace, particularly his grace toward his people Israel, natural and spiritual. That is what doesn't change. And yet, if you like, the day-to-day working out of his planning is open because he wants to relate with us. He is not a God who says, this is the period and this is what's going to happen and that is it. He wants us to respond. Howie Whittaker used to explain it like this. He would say, if you get good marks in your next four tests, I'll buy you a bicycle. So there's the period, but you or the child may or may not fulfill the conditions, so they may or may not get their bicycle at the end of the period. Let's start off thinking about Job. Seeing, this is Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Well, that may be a reference to the wonderful numberer, the angel that's called that in the AV margin of Daniel 8:13, who apparently controls the timing of all these things in practice. The Septuagint in Job 14:5 says, if even his life should be but one day upon the earth, and his months are numbered by him, you have appointed him for a time, and he shall by no means exceed it. Now, the text of Job is used in the prophecies of the restoration. When you read, for example, in Psalm 102:13, that there is an appointed time to favour Zion. I think that's alluding to this appointed time for the end of Job's sufferings. This word determined, it's used about the determined time of Judah's judgment and restoration. You've got that in Isaiah 10, 22, 23, Isaiah 28, verse 22. So there were bounds, there were an appointed time set, initially 70 years, and at the end of it, the suffering would finish, just as was intended with Job, and just as happened with Job. And so in Job's case, he responded well, and so when the bound or the set time was reached, Job was restored from living death, and this could have happened to the exiles at the end of their 70-year appointed period, their determined time. Isaiah 10, 21, a remnant will return to the mighty God. Return means both to return, as in returning from Babylon to Judah, and also repent, to return to God in the sense of repenting. A remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, a set time, but it will overflow with righteousness, and the Lord will make a full end as he has determined in the midst of all the earth. So this determined time, what the psalm calls the set time to favour Zion, was set originally at 70 years. And again, Isaiah 28 talks about the same in verse 21, that there was a decree determined from the Lord of hosts upon the whole earth, the nations around Israel. But therefore don't be scoffers, lest your bonds be made strong. Give ear and obey my voice. Listen and hear my speech. In other words, the period of judgment for the nations was also set, but if Judah continued to mock the voice of the prophets and were not obedient, it wouldn't come. Well, when you come to Daniel 9, Daniel sort of appeals to this situation and says, look, there's 70 years are up, surely, but there's been no restoration. And he's basically told, well, no, because the 70 years have become reinterpreted as 70 sevens. 70 weeks or 70 sevens. That was the answer to him. That the determined time had been recalculated. And at the end of it all, Daniel 9:27, in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and the offering to cease, and on the wing of abominations will come desolation, even to the full end, and the wrath that is determined, the same word, that is numbered, shall be poured out upon the one who makes desolate. So the whole idea of Judah repenting, returning to God after 70 years, and then judgment coming at that determined time upon those who had abused them, this is all recalculated, reinterpreted, reapplied. Now, this is not to say that Jesus will never return. He will return. But it does show that time periods with God are negotiable. You have in Ezekiel, similar thing, where Ezekiel has to lie on his side for such a period, and that was the judgment for Judah's sin, and lie on his other side, certain period, that was the judgment for Israel's sin. Well, it's fairly hard to interpret that in terms of finding a correspondence with history. It doesn't seem to have come true quite in those terms. There doesn't seem to be any exact time period that would fit that. But that's okay. This is not to say that, well, God sort of talks things like that, but he doesn't actually do it. It's far more wonderful than that. It is that God is sensitive to human repentance. That's what's so wonderful, that God will determine a certain period, and if preconditions are met, then things will happen. If they are not, then it won't happen. And then there is this wonderful thing that he can hasten it in its time, and the days can be shortened, as Jesus says in the Olivet prophecy, that a time period can be shortened. It's like the loving father who says, well, I said that if you passed your four next tests, I'd buy you a bicycle. I love you so much. You pass your first two tests, here's your bicycle. I love you. And that is it not? Anyone who's been a parent will know that is sort of at times with little children anyway, how you do behave at times. And so this is how it is with God. This is his sensitivity. And yet trying to sort of tie God up, tie God down to sort of literalistic fulfillments, that this must happen and this must happen and da da da. What happens if it doesn't work out how you intend, how you think according to your interpretation it must happen? This is the myth, I think, of trying to work out calendar dates for the Lord's return. We are not intended to do that. But even if you do think you can do that, well, how do we explain the fact that a lot of those calculations could have come true at certain times, but they didn't? I can remember 1984, I forget, to be honest, which set of time periods it was felt to be, but it was 1984. Then it was 1999, then it had to be 2000, and then it was 2007, and so on. And, you know, in one sense, 1988, that's right, 40 years after the establishment of the State of Israel. So it goes on. And all of them, at the time, had their credibility. One answer, well, one comment on all that would be, yes, they were all right. Yes, it could have been, but it wasn't. Because, for example, Israel didn't repent. The gospel hadn't been taken into all the world by us as it ought to have been. We hadn't repented. The body of Christ had not brought forth the fruit required. The body of Christ was divided, or whatever it might be. And you see, therefore, how God operates, that it is not that he is not serious. It is rather that he is sensitive. And because he delays, as Isaiah says, that he might be gracious. You know, if the Lord had come a long time ago, when some time periods apparently could have been fulfilled in 1917 or or whenever, well, you and I would not have been saved. We wouldn't have existed. We wouldn't have had a chance to learn the gospel and to be baptized and to have the hope of the kingdom. So it is all in his wisdom. And when you look at your own life, I think it's the same. This wonderful numberer, this angel of Daniel 8:13, who arranges all this calculus, who must love math, I suppose, sets up these situations in our lives, and we may or may not fulfill them. And the time period may pass, or it may be shortened, or it may be extended, or it may be reinterpreted as the 70 years word in Daniel 9. And yet always there's a silver lining. When you take Daniel 9, the 70 years were supposed to lead to Judah's restoration, and they didn't, because most of them prefer to stay in captivity because they're in a good life. But there's a silver lining, because the restoration that is finally to be achieved at the end of the 77s, according to Daniel 9, at the end of Daniel 9, was far more wonderful than exiles returning from captivity to rebuild the ruins of Jerusalem. It is the salvation worked by Jesus. It is the complete end of sin. It is total salvation.